On the 18th of April 2016, Terry Leanne Beavers, from here on Missy Beavers, was brutally murdered in the Creekside Church of Christ just before 5 a.m. The surveillance footage from the church shows one of the most harrowing pieces of evidence I've ever seen in any unsolved case thus far. A suspect walking around the church, seemingly waiting for her, dressed head to toe in SWAT and tactical gear. This footage is so bizarre for a number of reasons, but I'm going to talk a little bit about Missy before we get into that. Missy Beavers, née Strickland, was born in Graham, Texas on the 9th of August 1970. She stayed in Texas, attending Tarleton State University and graduating with a BSc in 1995. She worked in a number of jobs within the retail industry for a few years before she met her husband, Brandon Beavers. According to her loved ones, she had a renewed focus on life following meeting her husband, which pushed her to gain a teaching certificate in special education. She taught for a number of years before her first daughter was born in 2001. She and Brandon had another two children, both girls, born in 2003 and 2007 respectively, leaving them with three daughters, Hannah, Ali, and Sarah. After living as a stay-at-home mother for a while, she wanted to find a way to give back to the community, so she worked on herself, getting physically and mentally fit, before becoming an instructor at Camp Gladiator. This is an organization that describes itself as more than a fitness boot camp. Based in Austin, Texas, Camp Gladiator is an organization that focuses on making communities fitter. It was clear to Missy, this was her calling. At the time of her death, Missy was 45. Though she had her hands full as a mother of three, she was also fully dedicated to her role as a Camp Gladiator instructor. Her marriage with Brandon was still going strong, but we'll get into the scrutiny that followed him after her death in a future episode. For now, all you need to know is that, like every case where a woman who has a seemingly perfect life is murdered, Brandon's every move was placed under a microscope in the weeks and months following Missy's death. Missy's Camp Gladiator class was an intense 4-week training course that is described as pushing participants outside their physical comfort zone. It comes as no surprise, therefore, that when it started raining the night before the session, at 7:55 p.m. on the 17th of April, Missy posted on her Facebook, "If it's raining, we're still training," along with the exact time and location of her session, 5 a.m. at Creekside Church. At this point, like the Daily Beast noted, it is important to state that the church was one of several locations for the boot camp. It is in no way affiliated with the church. This is important to note because the police have not considered this to be a religiously motivated crime. A couple of hours before Missy was murdered, there was video surveillance of a car driving around the car park of a nearby gun store. The car, a silver Nissan Altima, pulls in and has its lights on. It circles the main car park area for a bit, and then drives on to another section. Here, they are caught by another camera which sees the driver turn off the car's lights for a moment, possibly because they were startled by the other two cars in the car park, and then turn them back on. This gun store was a 3-minute drive from where Missy was murdered. The church itself was clearly visible from the windows of the store. That being said, the police have said there is no reason to think that this is tied to Missy's death, maybe erring on the side of caution from law enforcement. However, given that neither the car nor its driver have been positively identified in the years since, it is possible that this could be the key in finding out what really happened to Missy. 3:50 to 4:15 a.m. The surveillance footage shows the suspect walking around the church starting at around 4 a.m. Given that Missy arrived around 15 minutes later, with surveillance footage placing her car entering the church's car park at 4:15 a.m, this gave the suspect about 15 minutes of time to wander around. Wander around is the operative phrase here because the footage shows the suspect going into various rooms, opening different doors. It looks as though they didn't expect her just yet. Another interesting detail is the fact that these cameras are motion activated. The suspect did not have a legal means of entry into the building, officers observed a lot of broken glass on the floor, evidence of forced entry into the church. This was at 3:50 a.m. As I mentioned before, the suspect was dressed head to toe in SWAT gear. According to the Midlothian Police Department, the department with jurisdiction over the case, it was clear that the suspect wanted to look like a police officer. At one point in the surveillance footage, the suspect feebly smashes a window with some type of baton. This could be the glass that the police department reported seeing around Missy's body. Maybe this footage was caught just mere moments before her death. Throughout the video, there are instances where the suspect makes it a point to look towards the camera, not directly at it, but in the general direction. This has led some to speculate that the suspect knew they were being filmed. The person walks around the church with what many comment to be a distinctive gait. Their feet are turned outwards, more so on the right. The brutality of the murder scene led investigators to presume it was indeed a male, perhaps bolstered by the forced entry and the glass shard surrounding Missy's body. However, given the nature of their disguise, police have backtracked. Midlothian Police Assistant Chief Kevin Johnson said, quote, "We are backing off our statement that the suspect on video was a man. That was a mistake." Whilst this doesn't conclusively state that the suspect was a female, part of the reason they backtracked was because of the approximated height of the suspect, 5'8". This is a significant departure from the initial suggestion that the suspect was 6 foot tall, but it is unclear if the 6 foot suggestion came from an inclusion of the boots and helmet. Either way, the suspect to look out for was less than 6 foot. One thing I noticed in the video was a flash of what appeared to be skin between the helmet and the vest. It was a pale white, which I admit could have been an undergarment to conceal their identity for this very reason, but I invite you to check the Google Doc in interest. I haven't seen anyone else mention it, but I thought I might add that in. Another interesting tidbit to come out of this case is the sensationalist reporting. That is, they tend to lean on the side of considering the suspect a member of the police itself. I take issue with this for a number of reasons. Number one, Texas police riot gear is a different color, resembling something more similar to a military uniform. Number two, anyone can get this type of uniform at a costume shop, or because it was 2016, on Amazon. As I mentioned before, they walked with what is referred to as a distinctive gait. There are a number of theories as to why. Number one, they naturally developed this. Number two, they were trying to look like a female. Number three, they were trying to look like a male. And number four, they were trying to look like a specific person. I'll consider this one in a separate episode on the key suspects in the case, looking at whether or not they were trying to conceal their gender by looking like either a male or a female. The suspect walks around with their feet pointed outwards. To me, this suggests that they are trying to look as though they're male. However, they also have a light hop in their step, which is commented by some as them placing their weight on their right foot. This could indicate that the suspect was trying to imitate how he thought a female would walk. Another possibility could be that their gait was a result of the SWAT gear being oversized. Thus, they had to balance themselves on their feet and found that walking in this way would be most conducive to this. As a final point, it could be that the suspect was trying to imitate someone else, someone who has a walk or gait that is distinctive. 4:15 to 4:19 a.m. The surveillance footage caught Missy's car entering the church car park at 4:15 a.m. Where this places in the footage of the released surveillance video is not known, but what is known is that Missy arrived early to set up for class. Little did she know, someone else arrived earlier. Footage that has not been released to the public concerns the time that Missy entered the church, but it was stated by law enforcement that she entered the church at around 4:20 a.m. At this point, it is important to note that law enforcement conclusively ruled out the killing as a robbery gone wrong or a wrong place, wrong time killing. That is all too common because, aside from the broken glass to enter the church, there was nothing else to signify a burglary. This person knew that Missy would be inside the church and knew that she would be early. They planned their attack on her accordingly. When Missy entered the church, she left her car boot open along with leaving some personal items such as her purse and phone in the truck. This further supports the official ruling that this was not an attempted robbery. It is not known by the public at exactly what time Missile was murdered, only that it happened between 4:20 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. 4:20 to 4:29 a.m. At 4:20 a.m., Missy enters the church. She presumably goes to a hall or auditorium of sorts. Here, she is confronted by her killer. I mentioned earlier that it was reported that there was glass around her body. It's possible that the window the suspect breaks at the end of the footage was to gain entry into the room in which Missy would eventually be killed. If this is the case, it is also likely that Missy noticed that the glass for the door was broken, but the door was closed. She entered the room and was killed shortly afterwards. The suspect leaves the church undetected by security cameras. 4:30 to 5 a.m. At 4:30 a.m, a dark SUV is noted as leaving the church's car park by someone arriving for one of Missy's classes. You might notice that this is different to the silver Nissan Altima I mentioned earlier. I'll get more into that in the next episode. At any rate, the suspect leaves. Missy's belongings are untouched. Her phone and purse remain in her pickup truck, which sits in the car park with its tailgate and door still open. She is dead, and her killer has escaped. At 4:35 a.m, one of Missy's students arrives for the class. It is unknown who the student is, but they were one of two people to place a call that reached the police at 5 a.m. Once the 911 call is placed, the police arrive at the scene. They describe Missy as having puncture wounds to her head and chest. I'll get into that description in the next episode, because it's possible that it was intentionally vague. Missy was pronounced dead at the scene. Before I start this section, the reason I won't go into depth on these theories is because I'm going to do an episode focusing solely on the key suspects of the case. I wanted to mention these so you have an overview of the case itself. In the days and weeks following Missy's death, there were rumors that she was unfaithful. This added to a list of things that stacked up in favor of Brandon as the disguised suspect. He, however, was quickly ruled out as he was not in the state when Missy was murdered. Suspicion also pointed to his father, Randy Beavers, because just days after Missy's murder, Randy took a bloodied shirt to the dry cleaners. The blood in the shirt was found to corroborate his story, that it belonged to a dog. He was also conclusively ruled out as a suspect because he was in California at the time of Missy's murder, but, interestingly enough, he had a very similar walk to the suspect. YouTube creator Shauna Ray, whose video on the subject is something I recommend you watch, mentioned that she felt the suspect haunched the top of their back over, which is something that Randy Beavers is seen doing in a number of videos of him walking. The final main suspect in this case is Bobby Wayne Henry, known on web sleuths as BWH. This person of interest is someone who is an ex-police officer and also hired as security for Missy's funeral. He walked in a similar way to the suspect on camera, so much so that he caught the attention of a film crew who made it a point of recording his walk, in particular, the way in which his toes were pointed outwards. Bobby Wayne Henry was named by a forensic podiatrist, notable as he was the only person in Missy's life that could not be cleared. Now, the faux silver bullet in this theory is that there is a discrepancy in the height. Bobby Wayne Henry was 6'1". We know this because his mugshot from a child pornography arrest shows this, whereas the official police ruling for the suspect was that they were 5'8". Though, this could be erroneous on the side of the police department, and in fact, the suspect was around the 6 foot mark. In truth, nobody apart from Missy's killer knows really what happened to her and why. This episode was an overview into the mystery surrounding Missy's death, complete with a quick look at the main suspect in the case. In the next episode, I'm going to go deeper into what actually happened regarding Missy's death, starting with the manner in which she was killed. In the episode after that, I'm going to look closer at the prime suspect in the case. In the show notes for the episode, there'll be a link to the subreddit. In the post for this episode, there'll be a link to the Google Doc, which is the script for the episode, as well as a tip line for the Midlothian Police Department and Crime Stoppers. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all for episode 2.